Palestine Mooney was carrying Govardhan to Kashi, because they didn't have any mountains there. And as he was carrying Govardhan, he had a deal with Govardhan and Govardhan's father that if he put Govardhan down anywhere, he would have to stay there. So as he was carrying Govardhan over Braj, over Vrindavan area, Govardhan and Krishna and Yogamaya arranged that Palastya Muni had to have a call of nature. Does everyone understand what a call of nature is? I mean, anyway, they had to go to the bathroom. So he put Govardhan down, and then when he got back, Govardhan wouldn't move. And he got very angry. Govardhan remained in Braj, and he cursed Govardhan to shrink by the size of a grain or a seed, mustard seed, every day. So that's why Govardhan is shrinking. I'll tell you another story, too. The story I like best is the story that when Hanuman was building the bridge or helping to build the bridge to Lanka, along with all the other monkeys, they were carrying different stones and writing the name of Shri Ram on all the stones so the stones would float. So Govardhan saw this, Hanuman saw this big hill, and it was Govardhan. So he picked up Govardhan, and while he was carrying Govardhan to build the bridge at the bridge in southern India. So what happened was that he heard a voice in the sky, and the voice said, Hanuman, put the stone down. We don't need any more stones. So he put the stone down in Braj. So that's another story. And one more story about Govardhan Hill shrinking. The real reason Govardhan Hill shrinks is not because of the curse, but because Govardhan is experiencing separation from Krishna. Krishna left Vrindavan about 5,000 years ago. And since then, he has not returned, at least to the external vision, to Vrindavan. And therefore, Govardhan, out of great separation, gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So that's a story I like the best. Okay, so three stories about Govardhan. You can't really see it too well here because it's not that dark. But this, if you got real close, this is actually a scale picture of Govardhan. It's a painting that's bigger than the projection right here that I had made that has all the different pastimes that Krishna enacted around Govardhan, and Govardhan is at the middle. And according to the Acharyas, Govardhan is in the shape of a peacock. And at the tail of the peacock, there's all the incarnations of the Lord, which you can't see here, but if you saw the picture up close, you'd see. And in the middle is the waist, or the beginning of the neck, because peacocks don't have waists. And the beginning of the neck, and then in the middle is this lake called the Manasi Ganga, which is the largest body of water in the Braj area. And that Manasi Ganga was created out of Krishna's mind. Therefore, it's called the Manasi Ganga. And at the head, there's the two lakes, Radhakund and Shyamakund. This picture is completely to scale because we superimposed the satellite picture of Govardhan, and the artist worked from that satellite picture. So here's Krishna looking over Govardhan Hill, saving the residents of Vrindavan. And Krishna was not feeling any exhaustion or tiredness, but still the residents of Vrindavan wanted to help Krishna. Now, most of these stories and most of the temples around Govardhan were established by Krishna's great-grandson, who is known as Brajanabha. Anyone's heard of him before? Brajanabha. He's the son of Aniruddha. So you have Krishna, and Krishna's son was Prajuna. Prajuna's son was Aniruddha, and Aniruddha's son is Brajanabha. Got that? So this Brajanabha, he went to Vrindavan with the wives of Krishna that were still on the planet. There were a few of them still there. And with some of his associates in order to find out the pilgrimage places of Krishna. And when he went there, went to Govardhan area, he had a kirtan. And during that kirtan, Krishna and Radha appeared, along with all their associates, the gopis and the cowherd boys that you see here. And they danced for him. And he established most of the original temples in Vrindavan. Not the Goswami temples, but the original temples where the deities were 5,000 years old. Some of those deities were later excavated, Dashishi Gornatan. Some of those deities were later excavated or found by the Goswamis of Vrindavan, such as Madan Mohan, who found the deity of Madan Mohan, who was known as Madan Gopal, he found him in someone's home in Mathura. And then later, he worshipped him in the Dwadasaditya Hill, and later on, he constructed the temple there. So that was, Madan Mohan was one of the original deities established by Brajanaba. You wonder how all those deities got to Vrindavan originally? That's how they got. Brajanaba established them. And so everywhere, and he also pointed out where Krishna did different pastimes. So when we start the Govardhan Parikrama, we start in the center, which is right surrounding the lake, known as the Manasi Ganga. And the first temple you see there is called the Mukharavinda Temple. This Mukharavinda Temple is the mouth of Govardhan. There's other places around Govardhan where you'll hear people say, this is the mouth, or that's the mouth. For example, there's one place that is worshipped by the followers of Vallabhacharya, which is right in the city of Jatipur. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Anyone been to Govardhan before? So some of you have been to Govardhan. So Jatipur, that means the city of the sannyasi, there's another mouth. But the actual mouth, according to Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, is at this Mukharavinda temple. And you can't see because there's still a lot of light in here. But they're worshipping, practically speaking, 24 hours a day, offering bhoga to the mouth of Govardhan. And right next to that Mukharavinda temple is the Manasi Ganga. Manasi Ganga is the Ganga that was created from the mind of Krishna for the purpose of allowing him to bathe in the Ganges River without leaving Vrindavan. So here's the story behind it. Here's Krishna. Krishna killed a calf. Did you know that? Did you know that Krishna killed a calf? Wow. Pretty heavy, isn't it? Does anyone know the story? No. Vatsasura, yeah, he was a calf demon. Because the demons would take the shape of different animals, like bulls, like Aristasura, or calves, or anything like our horses, or whirlwinds, like Trinavarta, or even Putana took the shape of a beautiful lady. So this demon took the shape of a calf. Krishna killed the calf. And the coward boys said to Krishna that, we're not going to play with you anymore. We're not going to play with you because you killed a calf. You're sinful. Like even in India, when people start to eat meat, they usually don't eat, at least the Hindus, they don't eat beef. You know, they'll have chicken pakoras, or I hate to say that, but they won't touch beef or cow meat. And if someone touches cow meat, it's the worst possible thing. Like killing a cow, the reaction is, who remembers what the reaction is for killing a cow? One birth for every hair on the cow. And for killing any other animal, it's not so bad. You just have to take another birth, one birth. But see, Denmark is known for its pigs, right? Danish ham is very famous all over the world. So if someone eats a pig, then they have to take birth as a pig. But if someone eats a cow, they have to take so many thousands or millions of births as a cow just to pay back for that karma. So the coward boy said, we're not going to go near you again or touch you or talk to you or play with you until you go to the Ganges. But Krishna did not want to go to the Ganges. So he created the Ganges from his mind. And he took a bath there. Later on, Nanda Maharaj wanted to go to the Ganges, and Krishna pointed out to him that the Ganges is here in Vrindavan, in the Manasi Ganga. So you can bathe here. And then the personification of the Ganges appeared. This is what we see here. See, there's Gangamai, the personification of the Ganges. She appeared and said to Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj that this is the Ganges, so you don't have to leave Braj. So Krishna does not want his relatives, friends, to leave Vrindavan. Another pastime that occurred on the Manasi Ganga is a famous boat pastime where Krishna was ferrying, that means taking, the gopis who were carrying milk products across the Manasi Ganga, which is larger than it is now. And he made believe that he was just an old boatman. So nobody knew that he was Krishna, which is quite interesting. And so he, as he was carrying them across, he first of all said, "I'm very tired. I can't row anymore. I need something to eat." So they gave him their milk, some of the milk products, and Krishna ate them. And then after he ate them, he said, "Now I'm full. I can't row. You'll have to massage me." And they thought he was just an old boatman. So they said, "Yeah, the only way we're going to massage you is take your arms and throw you in the water. So get rowing." So he kept rowing, and they were in the middle, and there was a storm, and Krishna made the boat rock more and more and more. And the gopis got scared. And basically, he said to the gopis at that point, "If you want this boat to float, you're going to have to throw away everything on the boat, including the milk products and everything." And then after that, he said, "You still have to throw away more. You should throw your clothes off too." And they said, "We'll throw you off." So at that point, they got so scared that Radharani, she actually saw the flute sticking out from the boatman's pocket or from his belt. And she saw it was Krishna, and she grabbed Krishna. So that's a pastime that occurred on the Manasi Ganga. Also there is the Bhajan Kutir of Sanatan Goswami, which is right near the temple of Lord Shiva, called the Chakaleshwara Mandir. Because Chakaleshwara means, it's a mandir to the chakra, the Sudarsan chakra, that shielded the top of Govardhan Hill from the torrential rains of Indra. So you have this temple of Lord Shiva, who is Chakaleshwara Mahadev, and then you have the temple to the chakra, the Sudarsan chakra, and then you have Sanatan Goswami's Bhajan Kutir. And Sanatan Goswami, when he was living there, was very much bothered by mosquitoes and flies, and he was getting ready to leave. And when he wanted to leave, Lord Shiva appeared to him and said, "I will take care of all the mosquitoes and flies. You should stay here." So he stayed there, and there were no more mosquitoes or flies. Now there are, but in those days, Lord Shiva took care of them. So this is the deity of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is practically the guardian of the holy Dham of Braj. Wherever you go, practically in every corner of Braj, every city, there's deities to Lord Shiva in which he guards. He's called the Dikpala, or the guardian of the directions. He guards Radhakund. There's the deity of Lord Shiva there is called Kundeshwara Mahadev, and here is called Chakaleshwara Mahadev. He guards the Rasa dance. He's called Gopishwara Mahadev. So Lord Shiva definitely has a place there in the holy Dham. In fact, we have to generally pray to Lord Shiva to get the blessings to enter the holy Dham. One time, Lord Shiva blocked Narada Muni from coming to see the Rasa dance. Some of you may have heard this story. Narada Muni wanted to see the Rasa dance, so he showed up at the border of the Rasa dance, and Lord Shiva, who was in the form of a gopi then, Gopishwara, he blocked Narada Muni's entrance. And he said, "You can't come in unless you're a lady. Only ladies are allowed." Thank you. "Only ladies are allowed here in the Rasa dance." So what Narada Muni did is he went bathing in the Kushama Sarovara and became a gopi. And his name became Naradi. That's Narada Muni as a gopi. And then he went in, and Krishna spotted him and said, "You better start writing the Narada Bhakti Sutras and the Narada Pancharatra." So that's Narada Muni's encounters as a gopi. It's also the presiding deity of the Manasi Ganga is known as Manasi Devi. Here's a picture of her. She's considered to be Yogamaya. Yogamaya is the potency that arranges for all of Krishna's pastimes in Braj, and keeps the devotees from remembering that Krishna is God. Because if they remembered that Krishna was God, they would not be able to interact with him in an intimate way. So to get permission to go around Govardhan, we have to go to this temple called the Haridev Temple. Anyone's been to the Haridev Temple here? No, you've been there. The Haridev, the Goswamis of Vrindavan say, you have to approach Haridev before you go around Govardhan. I mean, some devotees, when they go to Govardhan, they start in the Radhakund area, right after Radhakund. But the proper methodology is to start at the Haridev temple and take permission from Haridev. So we enter this temple and we see the deities. There's Haridev. And Haridev is Krishna holding up Govardhan Hill. The way this deity appeared is quite interesting. The gopis, they were looking for Krishna. Krishna was in hiding. And they kept crying out, Haridev, Haridev, Haridev. Just like in India, a wife will call her husband Patidev. Isn't that true? Patidev, Patidev. Now they just call him, what do they call him? Hey, you.
Yeah.
Hey, you, where's the money? But in those days, it was Patidev or Patiguru even. So they were calling out, Haridev, Haridev, and then when they looked, there was Krishna as a statue or as a deity. And that was a self-manifested deity of Krishna that Krishna personally manifested 5,000 years ago. That deity of Haridev. The original deity is actually in Rajasthan right now. Most of the deities, the original deities, were taken out of the Braj area when the Muslims attacked. Of course, the most famous is Gopal, who's now known as Nathji, and he's in Nathdwar. So he's the most famous of all the deities. And here's one of the old, very old temples. This is just a very old temple. This is the a temple where it used to be called the Dangati Temple, although there's another temple now that's called the Dangati Temple, which is right on the Dangati, means the path of the tax pastimes temple. So when we first start from the city of Govardhan, we come and we see Govardhan Hill for the first time, because the city of Govardhan is actually on top of Govardhan Hill, and Govardhan Hill is below the ground at that point. And there's devotees bathing in the Shila, which has the footprints of Krishna on it. And they circumambulate the Shila and bathe the Shila with milk products. And there's also a Vishnu temple there. This is a newer temple. We'll skip through that. And this is our ISKCON Mandir. This temple was a king's palace originally, summer palace. And it was renovated by Tamal Krishna Maharaj and turned into a retreat center for like sannyasis and brahmacharis. And unfortunately, the ladies can't stay there, but it's a very nice place. We're working on a place right now where the ladies will have a place to stay at Govardhan. But this is a very beautiful place. The presiding deities there are Krishna and Balaram. They're Shilas that were found when they were excavating the temple. Has anyone been to this temple? No? No one's been to the temple. One or two of you have been to the temple. And Gorna Thai, of course, they have Didi Prabhupada, and there's the Pushpa Samadhi of Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj there. The actual Samadhi is in Mayapur, where most of the sannyasis' samadhis are. This is our group we were taking on. It was actually a multinational group, people from India, Fiji, Australia, Europe. Was there anyone from Denmark? No. But people from Sweden and Finland in that group. And from other places in Europe. So it was an interesting tour. In the past, I've taken devotees all around India on bus tours. But this was just a tour of Govardhan. And the first kund we get to after we leave the ISKCON temple is called Dani Navartana Kund. And this kund is famous for a very interesting reason. For the tax pastime that Krishna and the gopis enacted. This story is told in the Gopal Champu, another book by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's a very interesting story that once upon a time someone's mobile phone is going off. Whose phone is that? No, it's all right. I'll continue. So once upon a time, the gopis were bringing milk products to Govindakund, and Krishna stopped them on the road and said, "You have to pay taxes." And they asked Krishna, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm the king of Vrindavan." And so they asked Brinda, "Do you know this boy?" And she said, "No, I've never seen him before." Obviously a lie, because everybody had seen Krishna before. And so Krishna kept insisting, "You have to pay, you're not going anywhere until you pay your taxes." This is them arguing like that. So Eventually, after a lot of argument and Krishna demanding a hostage, eventually they agreed they would come back the next day and pay the taxes. So when they came back the next day to pay the taxes, they came back with like 10 million gopis and overpowered the coward boys and overpowered Krishna. You see poor Krishna here, and they tied the coward boys to the trees. And then Krishna had to offer obeisances to Radharani to get out of this problematic situation. Very interesting pastime. So that occurred at that kund. That's called the Dhananivartana Kund. Then slightly off the hill, not right on the path, there's this place called Chandra Sarobara. And the moon is shown as a full moon for a whole night of Lord Brahma while Krishna danced the Rasa dance. That's why it's called Chandra Sarovara. Sarovara is like a lake or a pond, and Chandra means the moon. And in this Chandra Sarovara, we find, or right next to it, we find the deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who sat there and chanted japa. So many of the places we visited had deities of Lord Chaitanya, and many of those deities were established by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who established Padatirthas practically all over India, wherever Lord Chaitanya visited. When we did our South India tour, we actually found these plaques all over South India in the major temples that commemorated Lord Chaitanya's visit and had imprints of Lord Chaitanya's feet. And those plaques were installed by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, like in Tirupati, Ahovalam, all the places in South India. I think it was like 108 plaques he had installed altogether. And the next temple we visit going around Govardhan is called the Chaturbhuja Temple. Chaturbhuja means four arms. When Krishna was hiding out from the gopis, these are just some pictures around the temple, Govardhan from Chaturbhuja. And let's see the deity in a second. Lakshmi's well. Lord Chaitanya again had a sitting place there. So this is the deity. But when Krishna was hiding from the gopis, he manifested himself as Lord Narayan with four arms. And the gopis, when they saw Lord Narayan, they asked him, after offering obeisances, where is Krishna? And Lord Narayan said, I don't know. And then Radharani came, and there was so much love that Radharani exuded, and love that Krishna also had for Radharani, that Krishna couldn't keep his extra two arms. They kept disappearing. So that happened at this particular location. You see the four arms. They don't allow you to take pictures of this deity, but we have a little tricks whereby we take pictures of the deities. The trick we did here was very interesting. I'm not going to tell it anyway. Don't want to give away my secrets. And so you have to walk through the fields sometimes. Some of these temples the devotees don't know about unless you actually live there. I actually live at Govardhan. Go there three times a year and spend a lot of time there, so I know about all these little hidden places. Gaurikund is another hidden place. It's about, I would say half a kilometer from the main path. And Gaurikund is the kund to the goddess Gauri. Gauri, of course, is Durga. And what happened is, here you see Radharani worshipping Durga. This is very interesting. What happened was that Radharani and Krishna met at this particular location in Gaurikund. But then Radharani's so-called husband came along with her so-called mother-in-law, sister-in-law, that's Jatila and Kutila, and the husband's name was Abhimanyu. And they were thinking, we're going to catch her sneaking around with that Krishna person. So when they came, Radharani heard that they were coming, and Krishna heard that they were coming, so Krishna transformed himself into the deity. So Radharani was worshipping Durga, who was actually Krishna. You see there, the six-armed deity. And so when they came, Durga started to speak and told Abhimanyu and his sister and mother that Abhimanyu was going to die very soon, because he had committed the offense of not trusting Radharani. And he was thinking of sending Radharani out of Vrindavan. So Abhimanyu got very nervous and said, what can I do? Please forgive me. So finally, they came to the conclusion that we'll trust Radharani and never send her out of Vrindavan. And Krishna, as the deity Gauri, said, okay, you're forgiven. Never distrust her again. Which is very interesting. And they went away, and then Krishna and Radharani resumed their pastimes. So that's Krishna as goddess gory. The Anakukshetra is where Madhavendra Puri had all the offerings to Gopal, and also when Govardhan was worshipped 5,000 years ago by Krishna, all the prasadam was piled up. As you read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, they piled up prasadam maybe, you know, 10 meters high or 20 meters high, you know, puris and chapatis and rice. And that's called anakut, means the grain, where you're piling up the grains. And that occurred right in this section of Govardhan. And the next city we enter is a very interesting city. There's two cities on either side of the hill. And this city is called Aniyor. Aniyor basically means, give me more, give me more. Because what happened is when Krishna was being worshipped, he assumed a gigantic form of Govardhan, and they were worshipping him during the original Govardhan Puja. And they were offering him food. He said, kept saying, give me more, give me more, give me more. And he was never satisfied. So finally, they gave him a tulsi leaf, and he was satisfied. So that's why this village is called Aniyor. Give me more. And in this village, there's a deity of who we call Dauji. Does anyone know who Dauji is? Those of you from India know what it means. Balaram, it means elder brother. So you see Dauji, Balaram. These deities are 5,000 years old. These are some of the original deities here. And a deity of Krishna. Balaram and Krishna in Dauji temple. And then this is part of the city of Aniyor. And this is the place right here where Madhavendra Puri had installed Gopal on top of the hill when he found Gopal. Gopal, as I mentioned before, is now known as Nachi or Sri Nachi, and he's in Natwar. There's a kund right next to the village called Sankarshan Kund, and this kund has all the water that Balaram collected that fell outside of the Govardhan area on Braj when Indra was trying to kill everybody. So Balaram saved the rest of Braj and collected this water in this kund, and therefore the kund is known as Sankarshan Kund, or Balaram Kund. Then as we leave the city, we come to the place, right at the edge of the city of Aniyor, where Madhavendra Puri found Gopal. You all know the story. Madhavendra Puri was, basically he wasn't eating anything, and he was just chanting Hare Krishna. He was the type of sannyasi who never made an endeavor for his food. Very, very renounced. So Krishna saw that and brought him milk. And so Madhavendra Puri had a dream after Krishna personally brought him milk. He didn't know it was Krishna. And in that dream, Krishna appeared and said that I'm in these bushes here. And I've been hidden here because the villagers and the priests were afraid of the Muslims. So the next morning, he went with the villagers and dug Krishna, this is the center of it, and circumambulating. And here's the story. He got the milk. Then in the dream, Krishna led him to the bushes. They dug out, and they found Krishna there, Nachi there, who's known as Gopal in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then he had the Anakut ceremony in which they worshipped and bathed. And that's how Nachi was originally established. This is the famous Govindakund. Govindakund was formed from the water that Indra poured on Govardhan Hill. And when Indra bathed Krishna, after trying to kill the residents of Vrindavan, then Indra felt very remorseful. And then he brought Airavata down from the heavenly planets, and they bathed Krishna, did an Abhishek. It's a very beautiful place. Many devotees go to this place early in the morning to chant their japa. I think you all know Satchinandana Maharaj, right? He has a secret ashram right here. And I won't tell you where it is because he doesn't want people bothering him. But he goes there during Kartik and sits there for many weeks and just chants the holy names many, many rounds a day. Right at Govindakund. And so here's the Govardhan story, that the residents of Vrindavan were feeding Giriraj, who had assumed a gigantic form. Indra got angry, tried to kill all the residents of Vrindavan. Indra Krishna protected the residents of Vrindavan. Then Indra and the demigods bathed Krishna. And then they crowned Krishna as Govinda. That's where he got the name. Indra actually gave Krishna the name Govinda. There's many temples around the Govinda Kund area. This is one temple where these deities are also very old. I think they're 5,000 years old, the Radha Krishna temple. And there's one Kund that's now dried up. It's called Nipakund. Nipakund is called that way because it's the Kund, around this Kund with the trees, where the coward boys would fashion their leaves into cups and take prasadam together. But it's dry now. Many of the Kunds have dried up. This is the place where Krishna stood when Indra bathed him. This is called the Indra Puja place, where Krishna stood, not on this particular platform. The platform is a more modern construction. But Krishna stood at this place and Indra bathed him. Around Govindakund also there is the sitting place of Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri would reside here and chant his japa. Specifically, he would chant his japa near this tree. This tree is one of the many desire trees in Braj. In fact, all the trees are desire trees. And he would bathe in his private place right near this desire tree on the banks of the Govindakund. Here I am making a wish. You have to be careful when you're in Vrindavan. When you desire something or wish something, it happens. It comes true. And you have to be careful what you desire. Because you desire the wrong thing, you're in trouble. I remember I went with one friend. And of course, you know, I'm a sannyasi and I like to see other people become sannyasi. So anyway, so I was with him. And he was no longer married. Somehow or other his wife left him or something. He was about 50 years old. And so I went to the tree, embraced the tree, and asked the tree, please let him not get married again. And then he said to me, don't pray like that, Maharaj. So he immediately ran up to the tree, embraced it, and prayed the opposite. And then, like 3 weeks later, he was married again. So, and now he says to me, I won't tell you what he says to me. He said he wish he had let me pray more. Anyway, it's funny. There's another temple to Balaram. This is called the Doka Dauji Temple on the hill. This is all on the hill. We don't walk on the hill. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed us that Govardhan is non-different from Krishna, so we don't walk on the hill. So this is the temple which commemorates the place where Balaram stood when he was watching the Rasa dance. And when he was watching the Rasa dance, his crown fell off and fell. That's the inside of the temple. Here's the picture of it. Here's Balaram watching the Rasa dance. Krishna's dancing the Rasa dance. And then his crown falls off and makes an imprint on the rock. And that's called the Balaram Mukut Shila. That means Balaram's crown Shila, which is right outside of this particular temple. It's on the side of the hill so we could get to it. And as we go around the hill, the devotees are very intent upon building for themselves a place in the spiritual world. So they pile up some of the Govardhan Shilas and make little houses from them. You've seen that, I'm sure. And some devotees make very big houses, like 10 stories high. But I was happy just with a one-story house. So this is a very, very nice devotee, Govinda Mohini, originally from Fiji, but now she lives in Australia. And, of course, the beautiful peacocks on top of the hill. Krishna sometimes dances like a peacock and sometimes even takes the form of a peacock to entertain Srimati Radharani. Now at the very tail, as I mentioned before, all the incarnations of the Lord reside, especially there's Lord Nrsingadev. Lord Nrsingadev protects the holy Nam, and in addition, Lord Nrsingadev purifies our heart. Just like he ripped apart the demon, Aranyakashipu, he rips all the anarthas out of our heart. And this is the temple of the Nrsingadev. It's a very ancient temple, very hard to get into because the pujari is not always there. He was a very old man, and actually the original pujari passed away since I started going there. But this particular time, we went into the temple and saw the deity. This is also the original deity of Lord Nrsingadev, 5,000 years old, installed by Vrajanabha. We'll get a better look at it in the next slide. And he lets us see, you can't really see now, but there's Hiranyakashipu on Lord Nrsingadev's lap, and he's being torn to pieces. And also with the tail, we have these two nice kunds called Navalkund and Apsarakund, which means Krishna Kund and Radharani Kund. Radharani's name is also Apsara. And Krishna is always fresh, he's novel. And these two kunds were formed, this is Apsarakund, the first one was novel, the second one is Apsara. These two kunds were formed when Krishna and Radharani were looking at each other, and they melted out of ecstasy of love of each other, and they became the water of these kunds. Nice story, isn't it? So you bathe in these kunds, you actually imbibe the water of the loving exchanges of Radha and Krishna. Krishna Kund and Radharani Kund or Naval Kund and Apsara Kund. This is a view of the kunds from above. This is Krishna Kund, Naval Kund from above. I had one of my disciples very bravely climb one of the water towers there. The water towers in India are not so safe because the railings and the steps and everything are very flimsy and rusted. So I tested it. I said, this is a test of your devotion. Climb the tower. So he climbs to take some nice shots. Krishna is like, and also, there's this Lautababa there at the tail of Govardhan. This Lautababa is a coward boy who was waiting for Krishna to come back from Mathura. He remains at this particular location, and he's waiting. When is Krishna coming back from Mathura? Because the way that Krishna proceeded to Mathura was through Govardhan, through the tail of Govardhan, because Krishna at that point was living in Nandagram. A little history for you. Krishna was not born in Nandagram, neither was Radharani born in Barshana. That may come as a surprise. And if you tell that to the people in Barshana, they get upset with you. So, and like you go to Barshana and they say Radharani was born there, I'm sure you've experienced. No, not according to the Goswamis. Krishna was born or appeared not in Mathura. That's another surprise for you. Krishna appeared in Braj in Gokul. And what happened is an expansion of Krishna was born from Vasudeva and Devaki. But Mother Yashoda gave birth to two personalities, a girl and a boy. And she was too tired to really remember any of that. So when Vasudeva came with the expansion of Krishna, to bring the expansion of Krishna to Vrindavan, the expansion of Krishna entered into the original Krishna. And so Krishna actually appeared in Vrindavan, not in Mathura. The Goswamis told that story. It's not my story. And then, so what happened is that Krishna appeared in Vrindavan, in Gokul, which is part of Vrindavan. And Radharani, she appeared in Raval, and which is real close to each other. So what happened is that when Radharani was born, she was blind. And everyone was very upset because she was blind. It's not auspicious to have a blind child. So they wanted to perform her name-giving ceremony. It was Narada Muni said to do that. And at that name-giving ceremony, Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj brought little baby Krishna and Balaram. And Radharani and little baby Krishna, they crawled together as little babies. And when Radharani smelled Krishna, she opened her eyes for the first time and was able to see. Because that was the deal that she made with Krishna in the spiritual world. She said, I don't want to go to the material world. She's not like us. We love it here. But Radharani's eyes said, I don't want to go. And Krishna said, you can go. Let's make a deal that the first person you'll see there will be me. And she said, yes. Because she didn't want to see any rascals. So she came and opened her eyes for the first time. So this is a coward boy who's waiting. He's Lautababa, who's waiting for Krishna at the tail of Govardhan. Here's another picture of the tail of Govardhan. And here's the incarnations at the tail. There's Lord Boar. There's Lord Rama, the monkeys. There's Garuda. There's, of course, Nrsingha, as we've told you before. This is the tail of Govardhan. You go around the lower section. a little higher from the water tower. These are different pictures from the water tower. You can actually see from the tail to the temple, which we saw previously, which was near the Anior city. Remember that? We saw that temple on the hill. That was the temple of Madhavendrapuri, or signified the place where Madhavendrapuri installed Gopal. This is all the way up in the water tower, looking at Navalkund and Apsarakund. See that? And there's me. Shows you how high we were. Then as we round the tail, we come across this interesting cave under Govardhan. And this is the cave in which Radha and Krishna, amongst many other caves, had their pastimes. They would go into the cave, hide out from everybody else, and chant. Not chant, but they would engage in their pastimes. And one of Lord Chaitanya's great associates, Raghava Pandit, used to go into this cave to chant japa. Raghava Pandit's original form in Braj is Dhanishta, who is Krishna's cousin. So he would go into this cave and chant the holy names and be in ecstasy. I went into the cave too and chanted. It's one of the most wonderful places to chant because you're underneath Govardhan Hill. Of course, there's a lot of bats in the cave. This is I didn't know that until I went in. And then I got scared. But anyway, I chanted, and it was quite an ecstatic, wonderful experience to chant under Govardhan. There's a replica temple here of Nachi Temple at the tail, in which they worship a replica or Pratibhu deity of Nachi. The elephant of Indra, when he was giving Krishna a bath, made a footprint in Govardhan. You can very clearly see that footprint. This is also another place called Indra Puja, where Indra stood to worship Krishna, and the demigod stood, and this is the Shila inside. Surabhi Kunj. Surabhi is the cow from the spiritual world, and also from the heavenly planets, and she stored the milk here that she used to bathe Krishna with in this Surabhi Kunj, which is right on the side of Govardhan Hill. And there's many interesting architectural features and relief panels demonstrating or illustrating the pastimes of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill around this kund. It's one of the most beautiful kunds in the Govardhan area. There's a little relief, a depiction. Relief means it's like not quite three-dimensional. It's something carved out of some stone, but it's not a freestanding deity. Another relief description. This is called Rudan Kund. This kund is red. The reason it's red is that this is Lord Shiva's kund. And this, when Lord Shiva was watching the Rasa dance, he started crying, and from his tears, this kund was manifested. There is Lord Shiva, who is the greatest of all Vaishnavas, Vaishnavanam, Yathashambhu, and he's always meditating on Krishna and also Ram and all the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the most austere. It's interesting, Lord Shiva's devotees are the most opulent, and Lord Shiva is the most austere, and Lord Krishna, and the opposite is there with Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is the most opulent, and his devotees are the most austere, right? So we like being Krishna's devotees, because austerity is the wealth of the brahmanas, austerity is the wealth of the devotees, because a devotee is nirapeksha, disinterested in this world. It's not that Lord Shiva is walking around like that in his austerities because he doesn't have money. Sometimes people think like that about devotees. They like that because they don't have money. But Lord Shiva, he's married to Durga, the material energy. He has everything. Can you imagine? If you're married to Durga, you're richer than Bill Gates, Microsoft. You're unlimited wealth if you're married to Durga. Yet he's completely disinterested because he loves Krishna so much. So the love of Krishna is the real happiness in this world. We're looking for happiness elsewhere. It's like the story told in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, where a man leaves money to his son, and his son doesn't know where to dig. He digs in the wrong area. There's one area, there's a snake that'll bite him, and he doesn't know where the hidden treasure is. The hidden treasure is actually in the east. Krishna consciousness. And this is one of the kunds of the Coward Boys, right next to Rudan Kund. Very beautiful place where the Coward Boys would play. And this kund was formed by the tears of the gopis. They would cry, feeling separation from Krishna. And Krishna and the Coward Boys would also play here, play ball. Usually they would play with this bale fruit, which is a round fruit, and they would have catch in that way. The Indra Kund, which is now dry, was formed by the tears of Indra when Indra was feeling ecstasy and repentance, having tried to kill Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. Then the next city we come to is called Yatipur, or they call it Jatipur. Their Hindi is a little bit different than normal Hindi there. And this means the city of the sannyasi, or the renunciate. Just like Ramanujacharya is called Yatiraj, or Jatiraj, Yatiraj, which means the king of sannyasis. So there's this Dandavat Shila there, that if you offer obeisances in a Dandavat format, it means flat out, danda means stick, like a stick, then you get forgiven for all the offenses you might have committed by going around Govardhan Hill. Of course, you have to avoid the person who's asking for donations, too. Like, I had a very interesting encounter with one of the gentlemen. He's one of my friends there. But we went around, and he said, you have to give me a donation. And then what I do is, I have a very humorous relationship with the residents of Vrindavan. I put out the upper cloth of my dhoti, the upper section, not the dhoti, but the this section right here. And I said, no, I'm a sannyasi. You're supposed to give me a donation. Yeah. And, big show. Yeah, anyway, so I said, donation, donation. He said, donation, donation. So we have him back and forth. And I finally said to him, you're in the wrong city. Because you're in the city Yatipur. This is a city of sannyasis. I'm a sannyasi. And you should be over in Anior. Does anyone remember what Anior means? Give me more. So that's what you're saying. Give me more. Give me more. So move over to Anior. And he started laughing. So the Brajavasis are very sweet personalities. No one should offend them. They're actually all great devotees. But when you live there so long, you develop a very sweet relationship with these personalities who are very dear to Krishna, even the monkeys. Gantoli is another place as we go around Govardhan Hill. Ganta means like a knot. That's where Radha and Krishna got married secretly in their dhoti or Krishna's garment, and Radharani's garment was tied in a knot, signifying their marriage. This is the temple. It's a very ancient temple. Practically nobody knows about these places. I don't think anybody here has been to Gantoli. These are secret places, basically. And if you ever get a chance to go to Govardhan while I'm there, I'll take the devotees around and show them all these secret places. Right next to Gantoli is a place called Gulal Kund, and this Gulal Kund turns colors every year during the holy season without people throwing dyes in it. The reason that it turns colors is that Radha and Krishna are playing in these waters, and Lord Chaitanya would chant japa along the banks of this Gulal Kund. And here you see Radha and Krishna played in these waters, and they threw dyes or colors on each other. Holi is a very special festival in India. And you really have to get into the mood of it to understand it properly. And there's different types of holi. For example, in Barshana, the holi is there that the ladies beat up the men. Did you know that? It's called Barshana holi. In Nandagram, exactly the opposite. The way I found that out is I ended up in Barshana on the wrong day. I didn't know it was Barshana holi. So I went, got out of my car, opened the door, and the ladies basically said, there he is, in Hindi. And I said, uh-oh. And the next thing I knew, I was on the ground with, lattes, the sticks, and covered head to foot with different colors. And they had a good time. They didn't hurt me, but they had a good time. So the holi is very wonderful. We celebrate it in different places of the world. In the United States, we have holi festivals where the devotees throw dyes at each other. It's very popular for the college students, actually. This temple in Utah, they get thousands of college students come out to celebrate Holi with us. I don't know if you've heard about this before. And you don't have enough space to do it here. I wouldn't do it here, but if you have a lot of land, you can do it. So we also do that in other temples, too. In the temple I reside in, usually, we celebrate Holi. We have these packets. Everyone's throwing colors, and I get one of these guns called the Super Soaker. You ever heard of them before? It's like one of these water pistols that you pump up like that. You seen them here?
Yeah.
And I fill it with colors, and I just spray all the kids with it, so it's fun. So anyway, Holi is it's a festival that's really a lot of fun. Sometime when you go to India, you should get into the Holi festival. It's fun, and don't wear your good clothes during it. Be ready to cut your hair or something afterwards. Vilachu Kund is the Kund right near there. And that Kund, there's a wonderful story of Vilachu Kund. These are the deities there, Vilachu Bihari, some of the older deities. And what happened is Radharani, she was looking for her earrings, she had lost one or two of her earrings, and she was digging in the ground and said, Krishna said, what are you looking for? Are you looking for my flute? And Radharani said, no, you rascal, I'm looking for earrings, my earrings. And Krishna helped her dig, but then he found thousands of earrings in the ground, some gold, some diamonds, some pearls, and he gave them to Radharani, and she was very pleased with him. And that happened at this Vilachu Kund. Uddhava Kund is a place where Uddhava resides, and it's described that Uddhava is so humble he resides as the grass around this area. When Krishna's great-grandson, Vrajanabha, came to Vraj, as we mentioned in the beginning of this whole presentation, her name is Padma. She's one of the residents of Vrindavan, Vraj. She lives with some of my disciples there. They take care of my house. And so at Uddhava Kund, there's the deities, I'll tell the story in a second. Uddhava, Bihari, these are the newer deities, and these are the older deities. So the story is, let's go back, that when Vrajanabha came, Uddhava came out of the ground, too, to dance with him when Krishna and his associates came, and Uddhava came out of the ground from the grass. So Uddhava, even today, resides there. Uddhava, of course, is a great associate of Krishna, situated as a servant of Krishna, and also there's a tinge of friendship and other rasas there, too. Now we're entering the Radhakund area. The first temple you see when they enter the Radhakund area is the Mahaprabhu Chaitanya Temple, which is in the Orison style. Then the first Kund, slightly off the path, is called Malyahari Kund. And this is the Kund where the famous pearl pastime took place. Some of you may have heard about this pastime, but this is the pastime where Krishna asked the gopis for pearls for his cows, and they refused. So Krishna grew his own pearls from pearls, other pearls. He planted them in the ground and grew pearls from pearl trees. And the gopis, they tried to imitate. They took all the pearls from their parents, from their mothers, and planted pearls in the ground, and the only thing that grew were thorn trees. And they were very upset, so they went to Krishna and they said, please give us your pearls. By that time, all the cows, monkeys, and dogs, every animal and person had millions of pearls around their neck, as you see here. Cows, but not the gopis. So they begged pearls from Krishna. Krishna, first of all, said, no, you wouldn't give us your pearls. But eventually, Krishna felt very sorry and gave them each a box with their name engraved on it and pearls in that box. And that's the famous pearl pastime. Some of you may have heard that story before. Shivakori is the place where this dog, who is being, not dog, but jackal, who is being harassed by little children, was saved by Radharani, and Radharani made that jackal a pure devotee of hers, and the jackal went back to home, back to Godhead. And the jackal was being harassed by the little kids because they were setting fire outside the cave, and Radharani gave this jackal her mercy. There's our tour group entering the Radhakund area. It was January, so they're dressed a little warmly. Then we're not going to go through Radhakund today, there's not enough time. But after we went through Radhakund, we went to Kushama Sarovara, and this is the place, of course, where Narada Muni became Nardi. As I mentioned before, there's many nice paintings around the walls in this Sarovara, or lake. Devotees regularly swim there. And nice carvings. It's a beautiful place. This is the dome in one of the main areas of Kushala Sarovara. And devotees all taking water, because they all wanted to become gopis. So they were taking water and putting water on their heads. It's Kushala Sarovara at night. And right next to the Kushala Sarovara was a pastime that took place, that the gopis were picking flowers from the trees, and Krishna, unbeknownst to them, was sitting on one of the branches and holding the branch down so Radharani could get the flowers. And while she was holding onto the branch, Krishna jumped down from the tree, and Radharani flew up in the air, as you see here. And Krishna said, "I'll catch you." And she said, "No, you won't, you rascal." Because she was so angry with him. Radharani is known for her man, or the anger towards Krishna. And she pleases Krishna with that anger. That's actually quite pleasing, because Krishna likes to have a spicy relationship. Just like when you eat food, you like to have some spices in it, because it gives us some taste. So the relationship between Radha and Krishna, Krishna is more pleased with the left-handed gopis than the right-handed gopis. The right-handed gopis are the submissive gopis, and the left-handed are the ones who talk back to Krishna. They still love Krishna, but their manifestation of love is in talking back, being sarcastic, even fighting with Krishna sometimes. So that is Srimati Radharani's mood. And there's a beautiful temple there managed by ISKCON devotees. It's called the Vanavihari Temple, which commemorates the pastime of Krishna becoming a hairdresser for Radharani. I don't know if you could see this, but this particular Shila here is sort of like taking care of the hair. They put little hands on him. Taking care of the hair of this Shila is the Radharani Shila in front. And so this is a picture of the pastime, but right above is Krishna and Radharani, and he's decorating her hair. So that's where Krishna becomes the hairdresser of Radharani. And the temple is taken care of by some very nice devotees from the UK. And they stay there all year round. In addition, there's a beautiful Uddhava temple being taken care of by an ISKCON devotee, too. His name is Jamuna Jivana. Has anyone been to that temple right next to Kushala Sarovara, the Jamuna Jivana is at? It's in the back. You got to go to the back of Kushala Sarovara. You go to the left. And there he is, very austere devotee. He takes care of it himself. You've met him, or? Yeah, wonderful, wonderful devotee. You've been there. So you've met him. Yeah. He's a very good devotee. Well, in this temple, there's a UK devotee, Falindri, who takes care of the temple. The lady who takes care of the temple, and she takes care of the older lady, who they call Ma, who actually inherited the temple. So they're very, very, very nice devotees. And there's also a brahmachari from Scotland or Ireland there. And here's Krishna taking care or dressing the hair of Srimati Radharani. And this is the Uddhava temple, which is taken care of by Jamuna Jivana. Jai, Shishi Gornatai, Gornatai Kajai. So there's Uddhava in the center and Krishna. And here's the devotee. That's Jamuna Jivana right here. Does anyone remember him? You met him. Very wonderful devotee. Very blissful, wonderful. I mean, he just stays there all year round. Sometimes when it's like 45 degrees out in the summer, or in the winter, very cold. I mean, he's had to fight with dacoits before. An amazing devotee. Amazing devotee. He has health problems like kidney stones. I've been trying to help him a little bit with that. Nardakund is the place where Narada Muni composed the Narada Pancharatra and the Narada Bhakti Sutras, and also where Narada Muni instructed Kayadu. Kayadu is whose wife? Does anyone remember? To see if you're paying attention. Who was married to Kayadu? Haranyakashipu, yeah. So Kayadu, when she was taken from Haranyakashipu, because Haranyakashipu was performing austerities and the demons invaded Haranyakashipu's kingdom, Kayadu was taken by Narada Muni and taught about Krishna consciousness by Narada Muni. And who was in who womb? Prahlad Maharaj, right. And there's Narada Muni at Narada Kund, a deity of Narada Muni. We're almost finished. This is called the Ratna Kund or the Jewel Kund area. In the beautiful area where Radha and Krishna had their pastimes. And there's a Ratna Singhasana there. That means a jeweled throne. Just a beautiful area. And in this particular area, the demons, Shankachuda, kidnapped some of the gopis, including Radharani. That story is there in the Krishna book. So when he kidnapped, then Krishna killed him. And Krishna took the jewel from Shankachuda's head, which is in the shape of a conch shell, and gave that jewel to Balaram. That jewel later on became the Shaiman Taka jewel when it was given to the sun god. And there's a whole story about that in this book called the Lalita Madhava by Rupa Goswami. And there's a footprint of a cow and Krishna's footprint at the entrance to this area. Devotees offering obeisances. This is where the jewel throne of Radha and Krishna sat. There's some songs about this written by different Vaishnavas, the jewel throne of Radha and Krishna. And Radha and Krishna is one of their favorite places for having a rasa dance. Now, it's interesting, Krishna's rasa dances at different times of the day were at different places. So Krishna was very expert in arranging, and if anyone studies his Ashtakaliya Leela, they can see what Krishna did at different times of the day. So Krishna definitely had a whole time schedule for doing different things, like waking up. He would wake up at very early, 3:36 in the morning, earlier than us. Why did he have to wake up so early in the morning? Does anyone know? What? No, not the Chandler's Gayatri. That's in Dwarka. This is before he got initiated. That was so he could get back home before he was discovered out in the forest with Radharani. You know, so he was woken up because they were scared. The gopis and the coward boys, everybody, they were scared. And all the animals, Purnamasi. They were all scared that Krishna would be discovered missing from home and Radharani would be discovered missing from home. So they started waking him up at about 3:36 in the morning. Here's more pictures of the rasa dance, which took place there. And Radharani on her jeweled throne, Ratna Singhasana. Beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. These pictures you see here are all from that original big picture I showed you at the beginning of this whole show. They're just like little parts of it. So the picture is quite detailed. Gwalpur is actually a Bengali word. Anyway, so that's a place where the coward boys would eat their lunch. And another pastime happened here. That Madhu Mangal is described here, performed a particular ceremony called Surya Puja for Kutila. And he got laddus as a present, and the coward boys actually stole all the laddus. And Madhu Mangal threatened to curse them. To complain to Nanda Maharaj and everyone else, and Krishna gave him more laddus, because Madhu Mangal was the funny coward boy who always was interested in laddus. That was really to please Krishna. He would always do things to please Krishna, but whenever he saw a laddu, he was very enthusiastic. Madhu Mangal. Coward boys also would take lunch in this particular location, Gwalpur, taking the blessings of Govardhan Hill, putting our head to Govardhan Hill and taking the blessings. This was some of the devotees we were circumambulating with. And just about finished, this is just two or three more slides. This is Yugal Kund where Nanda Maharaj stayed when he was going to Nandagram from Gokula. Gokula is where Krishna appeared, and then Nanda Maharaj moved to Nandagram, and Radharani and associates, they moved to Barshana, but not for long, because Radharani generally lived in Yavat, not in Barshana, which is interesting. Because, you know, Barshana, I mean, it's a very wonderful place, but they don't tell you that generally after Radharani got married, and she got married very young to Abhimanyu, that she was in Yavat, which was Abhimanyu's place, a different place than Barshana. And right before we entered the city of the Manasiganga city or the Govardhan city, then we come to this place called Panchatirtha Kun, where the Narmada, Gomati, Sarayu, Kanchi, and Vetri meet in a very spiritual way. And many devotees hold festivals here, boat festivals. So when we take the tour around Govardhan, we generally have days where we read from the Shastras too. This is a very nice place. This is where I stay. You see, like a modern housing development right there at Govardhan. And we're sitting around the fountain, the central fountain, hearing about Krishna's pastimes. And we have Japa days at Govardhan. Oops. I don't know if I could show this. This is the last slide. Let's see if it shows up. Maybe, maybe not. Whoops. No. Can't show that. That shows where how we chant japa. I take devotees to a very private place in Govardhan that nobody knows about. It's right in the bushes. There's nobody there. And we sit down and we chant, 64 rounds or how many rounds the devotees want to chant, just meditating and praying for the mercy of Giriraj. So the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they very much concentrate on Giriraj, especially Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was given a Govardhan Shila by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also something called Gunjamala. You've heard of that before? Those are the little red berries that are there. And Gunjamala signifies Radharani, and Govardhan, of course, is Govardhan. So by this act, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving Raghunath Das Goswami a place of residence at Govardhan and the mercy of Radharani. And Raghunath Das Goswami, when he went to the Braj area, spent most of his time living in Radhakund, and he was personally responsible for supervising the excavation of the Radhakund area and establishing many of the temples in Radhakund and also Shaimakund. He was the one, when they were digging out Shaimakund, had a dream where Yudhisthira Maharaj appeared to him and said that I, along with the other Pandavas, are living on the banks of Shaimakund as what? Does anyone remember? Trees. So please do not cut us down. So that's why Shaimakund is just an unusual shape. It's not a square kund like Radhakund. So you see, it's just it goes here and there in its shape. So this Govardhan, especially Radhakund and Shaimakund, are very important for us Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So devotees, whenever they go to India, should take advantage and visit these places. So any questions or comments? Yeah.